Boker Tov, we continue on with the Mishnayot. As promised, the series of Mishnayot, all beginning with the word Ein Bein, which pick up and become effectively a tangent off of the last Mishnah, Ein Bein Adar Rishon Adar Sheni, in which two items which are very similar are juxtaposed, and the one significant difference between them is highlighted. We will see immediately that the difference highlighted is not the sole significant one, and that the phrase Ein Bein is not exhaustive. The first item on our list, and by the way, our Mishnayot appear as couplets. We're going to see three couplets today. One about Yamim Tovim, Yom Tov and Shabbat, and then Shabbat and Yom Kippur. Then one about Nidarim, the difference between different kinds of Nidarim, Nidre Isur, and then different obligations about Nidre Hekdesh. And then different kinds of tmeim, that is between within different kinds of zavim and within the different kinds of mitzoraim, and that will be our piece today. Ein ben yom tov l'shabbat al ochel nefesh bilvad. That's the Mishnah. The only difference between Shabbat and Yom Tov is ochel nefesh, is the permission on Yom Tov to do melacha for proximate purposes of food preparation. Now the Gemara immediately infers from there that there must be other things for which Shabbat and Yom Tov are equally prohibited, and that is machshirei ochel nefesh. Halinyan machshirei ochel nefesh, meaning approximate, non-proximate preparations of food. Things like chopping down wood to make a fire, etc., to cook. Zevezeh shavin, Yom Tov and Shabbat are equal, meaning equally prohibited. And therefore, matnitin lok Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah, therefore, cannot be authored by Rabbi Yehuda. Titania ein ben yom tov l'shabbat el ochel nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda matir af machshirei ochel nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda explicitly allows machshirei ochel nefesh on Yom Tov. Now, my Tana de Tanakama, let's parse their argument. Why does Tanakama say that only ochel nefesh, not machshirei ochel nefesh? Amar kra hu, the first pasuk on the page, the famous pasuk about the heter ochel nefesh. Kol melacha lo ye'aseh bahem, ach asher ye'achel l'chol nefesh, hu levado ye'aseh lachem, that which is prepared for eating, hu levado, that alone may be done for you. So hu means v'lo machshirav, it and only it and not those preparatory steps. For Yudamar, lachem, the last word in the verse, it may be done for you, lachem l'chol tzarchechem, anything that you need, meaning even more expansively. What is Tanakama going to do with lachem? The answer is lachem v'lo l'klunachrim, lachem v'lo l'klavim. Lachem means the preparation may only be for Jews, not for their animals, not for non-Jewish guests, whoever it may be. And this is a sugya that we dealt with in Masachet Beitzah. What is Rabbi Yehuda going to do with the exclusive word hu? So he agrees it has to do with machshirei ochel nefesh, but he limits its impact. Ktiv hu, ktiv lachem. He recognizes attention. So he says, So when does the Torah say lachem, anything you need? That includes machshirim that could not be done erev Yom Tov, like particular vegetables that have to be picked fresh the day that you're going to eat them, and therefore you cannot do them erev Yom Tov, as opposed to the hu, which excludes those machshirim which could not have been which could have been done in erev Yom Tov, and you neglected to do so. In that case, there is no such permission. Now, as I mentioned, the whole notion of the Ein Bein, which sounds so exhaustive, the only single difference between these two, and that's the way I represented it on the page, the sole difference, really is not exhaustive, because after all, one significant difference between Shabbat and Yom Tov is the consequences. Violating Malacha and Yom Tov carries with it the punishment of Makot. It's a lav d'oraita. On the other hand, violating Malacha on Shabbat carries with it the potential for Chiyuv Skila, for a capital punishment. So Yom Tov and Shabbat are very different there, and that's a difference that's going to be highlighted in the next Mishnah. So clearly the Ein Bein cannot be seen as exhaustive. The next Mishnah, Ein Bein Shabbat v'Yom HaKippurim Ela Shezez Dono Bidei Adam V'Zez Dono B'Charet. That the only difference between Shabbat and Yom Kippur is, now we're not here talking about Malachot, we're not talking about the issue of fasting, etc., but rather, as far as the Malachot, Shezez Dono Bidei Adam V'Zez Dono B'Charet. That this one, meaning Shabbat, if you violate it intentionally, the punishment is carried out by human agency, by the Beit Din. But on Yom Kippur, the consequence for doing malacha is the punishment of karet, which is a heavenly punishment. Machlok at what it means, die childless, die before the age of 60, etc. But it's something that's between man and God and is not carried out by a beit din. Now, as we just had with Yom Tov, when it comes to Nisan Shabbat and Yom Kippur, if we say the only difference is, as far as the consequences go, then there is another issue which there should be a difference, which we're now going to negate and say in this area, there is no difference, and that is L'inyan Tashlumin. So one prefatory note. In Halakha, you can generally not be held liable on two counts for one action. Meaning, one action that you take that carries with it two punishments or two consequences, the general rule is that you get the greater consequence. And the classic example is, of course, when the greater consequence is a death penalty and the lesser consequence is whatever it is that's lesser, generally, let's say, mamun. So, for instance, if someone were to kill somebody else, and of course, in the act of killing them, they also damage some of their property as part of that act, like stabbing them to death and also ruin their clothes. They were very valuable. They would be exempt from paying for the clothes based on the principle of kam le b'derabim minei, meaning the greater punishment subsumes the lesser punishment. The premise here being that punishment is essentially not rehabilitative, but rather is repentative, is reparative towards God, meaning that it's you're making your achieving atonement, and the greater punishment subsumes the lesser one. So therefore, if somebody were to violate Shabbat in the same process as which they incurred some sort of a monetary fine, they'd be exempt from a monetary fine because the consequence for Chilul Shabbat, by the way, even if in their case, due to a technicality, they wouldn't be liable for it, would subsume it, which is Chiyuv Mitah. So now, Ha'le'inyan Tashlumin Zevezeh Shavin. So the fact that we said the difference between Yom Kippur and Shabbat is whether the consequence is karet or mitah bidei adam means that as far as the issue of kam le'bidrabim minei, they're equal, which means that even if you did something on Yom Kippur, which involved a malacha and also involved some financial damage, you would not pay the financial damage because it would be subsumed under the greater punishment of karet. So who therefore could be the author of our Mishnah? Because that issue itself is highly, highly disputed. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akanahi, it's the famous Tanur Rabbi Nechunya ben Akanah. The Tanur Rabbi Nechunya ben Akanah ya oset Yom Kippurim k'Shabbat l'inyan tashlumin. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akanah regarded Yom Kippur as equal to Shabbat as far as this issue of kam le'bidrabim minei. And what was his comparison? Ma Shabbat mitchayev v'nafsho fatur min ha'tashlumin. Just like on Shabbat, if you did malacha, you are chayav mitah, and you are exempt from paying the monetary fine or reparation. Af Yom Kippurim mitchayev v'nafsho patur min ha'tashlumin. Same thing in Yom Kippur, you are chayav, and here mitchayev v'nafsho, he's using it expansively, here it's karet, and you do not pay the tashlumin. Now, Tananatam, we have a very famous Mishnah in Makot, a Mishnah that had interesting historic implications in the 16th century in Sfat, but en kan makom lahari. Tananatam, kol chayavei kritot shalaku niftaru midei kritatan. Anyone who is chayav karet and then gets makot is then exempt from the karet. And the implication here seems to be that anybody who would be chayav karet would be taken to the beit din, get makot, have the lashes administered, and then they would be out of the karet. Shinemar, what's the proof text? So it's pasuk number 2 on the page. V'nikla achicha la'inecha, that your brother is flogged in your presence. What does that mean? The minute that he is flogged, he is ke'achicha. He's back in the fold. In other words, he's taken away from the karet. Now, divrei Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel. Okay, good. So now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Chalukin alav chavirav Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel. So Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel, who was the author of that midrash and that halachic application of makot to chayave kritot, the rabbis disagreed with him and felt that if somebody is chayav karet, they don't get makot. That's Rabbi Yochanan's report. Now, Amar Rava. Amar Bei Rav, Tanina in Ben Yom Kippur l'Shabbat el shezez dono b'di adam zez dono b'di karet. We have our Mishnah that says the only difference between Shabbat and Yom Kippur is whether the punishment is administered by the Beit Din or by God. V'im ita, idi b'di adam hi. According to you, it should be that all of them are given by man, because if you're chayav karet for Yom Kippur, according to what you just said, you should get makot from the Beit Din, which is also given by the court. So Rav Nachman, Hamani, Rabbi Yitzchak, okay, so the answer is that our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel's opposite number, who does not accept the drasha about Nikla Achicha, and therefore does not accept the idea that somebody who's chayav karet gets makot. There is no makot among those who are chayav karet. The Tanya of Yitzchak Omer chayav kritot b'chlal ayu. Yitzchak says chayav kritot, those who are chayav karet, were subsumed under the general prohibition, under the general group of those who violated prohibitions of the Torah. Torah says don't do this and don't do that and don't eat any kippur, etc. V'lama yatsu. This is a premise. The premise here is the notion that kol davar she'yah b'chlal yatsa min haklal lamed. Something that was subsumed, was part of a general group, and then was mentioned explicitly explicitly with a unique consequence or something. Why did the Torah specifically mention in Parsha Kedoshim that relations with one's sister carries with it karet? To tell you that it's only karet and not makot. Because after all, anything the Torah says, don't do, unless there's a specific punishment mentioned differently, the punishment is makot. That's the default punishment. So why did the Torah then mention karet explicitly? Tell you it's karet and not makot. Rashi omar afilu teimer rabbanan. You could even say that it's the rabbanan. Ze ikars dono bide adam, ze ikars dono vihi karet. He said that our Mishnah could even be authored by rabbanan, and even by Rachanan Gamliel, who says that there are makot for someone who gets karet. Nonetheless, the Mishnah is referring to the essential punishment. The essential punishment of Fiyum Shabbos is Bidei Adam, and the essential punishment for Yom Kippur is Bidei Shamayim. Even if you would say that as a sort of a stopgap step, the Rabbanan administer Makot anyways. Good. The next two Mishnayot, which are really all part of Mishnah Vav, are Mishnayot dealing with Nidarim. Now, the first one is the kind of neder that we refer to as Nidrei Isur, that most of Masachet Nidarim is built upon that, and that is when one vows abstinence or restraint, either himself from any item in the world, or any person from his items. Now, Ein Bein HaMudar HaNa'ami Chaviro LeMudar Menu Machal. If somebody takes a neder, I'm not going to get any benefit from you. And if he says, I'm not going to get any hana'ah, or as opposed to him saying, I'm not going to get any ma'achal, any food, then the only difference between them is drisat haregel, trespassing on his property, v'chelim she'en osim ba'achal nefesh, and vessels that have nothing to do with food. Which means that if I say, I'm taking a neder, I'm not getting any food, any ma'achal from you, then I can use your guitar, and I can walk through your property, because that has nothing to do with food. If on the other hand I said hana'a, I can't do those either. So the Gemara immediately picks up, ha'linyan kelim shosim ba'am ochol nefesh, zeved zashavin. So clearly, when it comes to vessels that are used for food, like pots and pans, etc., neither one of them can use it, which means that even if somebody takes a neder of ma'achal, that includes all things related to food. Now, parenthetically, the Gemara then comments, drisat haregel. The Mishnah said that one of the differences is trespassing, which means if somebody has an isur of hana'ah, they're not allowed to trespass on the other guy's property. A halokapti inchi, but people don't care about that. After all, if you walk, take a shortcut through my property, I really don't care about it. And therefore, if you took a neder of hana'ah, there is no hana'ah here that's happening, because it's nothing that I care about either way. Damarav hamani Rabbi Lazar, this is Rabbi Lazar in the fifth chapter of Nidarim. Damar vitur asur b'mudar hana'ah. When you are mudar hana'ah, when you are have a vow of abstinence, not to allow me to get any benefit, you don't have the right to forgive that. And to say, oh, this one, that's all right, we'll let that go. That's Rabbi Lazar shita. And therefore, he says, Rabbi Lazar is the author of our Mishnah, and therefore, drisat haregel is a problem in a mudar hana'ah, because drisat haregel is something that even though people forgive it, forgiving is not something that's within the purview of a mudar hana'ah. The second kind of neder that we're going to deal with now in the second half of the Mishnah is nidrei hekdesh, when a person takes a vow to bring a korban. And that is the Parsha Nedarim in Kitetze, not the Parsha Nedarim in Matot. Take a look, the interested reader, in the first Ramban in Parshat Matot for the distinction between the two. Ein bein nedarim le-nedavot. So a neder is when a person says, Hare alai chatat. A person says, I accept upon myself the responsibility to bring this kind of korban. A nedava is when I point to a particular animal as a Hare zu chatat. I'm going to designate that animal. Or more likely, Hare zu shlamim. I'm volunteering it. Now, Elashan Darim Chayav Bachrayutan. By the way, my example of Hare Alai Chatat is a ridiculous example. You can't volunteer a Chatat. But Hare Alai Shlamim would be an example. Ein Bein Nedarim LeNedavot, Elashan Darim Chayav Bachrayutan, and Davot Eno Chayav Bachrayutan. The only difference between Nedarim and Davot is that a Neder you have a responsibility for, and Nedava you have no responsibility for. Meaning, if I take a neder and that animal then dies, the animal that I picked out, or I bring the animal to Shalayim and it's not offered properly, I have to go bring another one because I said I'm accepting responsibility for this korban. If on the other hand I choose in a davai, point to a particular animal and designate it to be brought as a korban, and that animal then dies, I don't make some reason I bring it to Shalayim and the kohen fouls it up and doesn't bring it properly, I have no further responsibility. Because after all I did was designate that animal. That animal did whatever could be done with that animal, and that's it. I have no further responsibility. So the Gemara then points out that hal le'inyan bal te'acher zeh v'zeh shavin, which means that, and this is the sugya we dealt with at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah several weeks ago, that there is a prohibition of lo te'acher l'shamo. You're not allowed to delay paying your debt to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's a five-way machloket about how long that, at what point that kicks in. Is the first regal, two regalim, three regalim, or three regalim with Sukkot being at the end, which means it could be a maximum of five regalim. So there's a four-way machloket about that. And the Isur, Baal Te'acher, applies equally to Nedarim and to Nedavot. Now, Tananatam, Ezu Neder Omer Hare Alai Ola, Ezu Nedava Omer Hare Zu Ola. Good, so we have a Mishnah that explicitly says what I just mentioned. The difference between neder and nedava is in the formulation, but it's really in the catalyst for the korban. Is it the animal that I'm pointing to, hare zu, or is it my obligation I'm accepting, and then later I'm going to use a particular animal to fulfill it? What's the difference between them? Nedarim, if you have a neder, metu, o nignevu, o avdu, if they died, or they were stolen, or they disappeared, Chayav b'achrayutan. You're responsible, meaning you have to bring another one. Nedavot, meitu, nignevu, o avdu, eno chayav b'achrayutan. Good, that's the Mishnah. Minhani mili, how do I know that? The Tana Rabbanan. The Pasuk says, and it's Pasuk number, it is Pasuk number three on the page, v'nirtza lo l'chaper alav. This is at the very beginning of Sefer Vayikra. It will be accepted, for the donor, be accepted by Hashem, to for atonement, alav. And what's the plan? That's what Rishimon Omer, et she'alav chayav b'achreyuto, et she'no alav eno chayav b'achreyuto. Anytime you use the word alai, in other words, if it's on you, then you're chayav b'achreyuto, if it's not on you. In other words, if you didn't associate it with your own personal obligation, but rather just with the animal, you're not chayav. So my mashma, how did we get that out of the pasuk? Yitzchak Baravdini Kemanda Amar Alai. The minute you say Hare Alai, Kemanda Toyna Katvedami. It's as if you're carrying it on your shoulders, and as you're carrying an obligation on your shoulders, which is not relinquished until you fulfill it properly, having nothing to do with whether it's this animal or another one. Good. And now the final couplet that we get to this morning is the two different kinds of Tmeim that we deal with, which are Zavim and Mitzoraim. So we're going to first one quick prefatory explanation about a Zav. A zav here we're dealing with is a man who has a particular kind of emission, which is discolored in a particular whitish kind of way. The details are dealt with in Masachet Zavim. But a zav who has two emissions like that, then a person that has two emissions like that is then considered a zav. And also three, we'll see the difference. Ein bein zav ha-ro'esh shtei ri'iyot l'ro'esh shalosh ela korban. The only difference between a zav who receives two sequentially, or three, it's within 3 days, is his obligation to bring a korban after he finishes the purification period, and that is on the eighth day to bring a korban. So what do we infer from there? Azav has a unique kind of tum'ah, tum'at midras, which means anything that he sits on, or it's also true about a zavah, anything that he sits on or reclines on or leans on, even if it's underneath a bunch of layers, all of that stuff is tameh. So the idea is that it's called mishkav moshav. So tum'at mishkav moshav applies equally whether or not he saw two or three. And sfirat shiva, the fact that once he has finished seeing these emissions, he has to count 7 clean days before he can return to the mikdash and be tahor, it applies equally whether he saw two or three. So now, minhani mili, how do we know that that's the halacha? That when you have two re'iyot, you are tameh, and only with a third you have a chiyuv korban. So, dan rabbanan, Rabbi Simai omer, mana katuv shtayim ukra'u tameh, shalosh ukra'u tameh. The Torah referred to a man seeing two and called him tameh, and referred to a man seeing three and called him tameh. So it's be two stages in the tumah. Haketzad, so how do we rectify that? How do we reconcile that? Shtayim l'tumah v'shalosh the korban. It must be that at two, you're only tameh, and three, now you also have an added chiyuv of a korban. Ve'emar shtayim l'tumah v'lo l'korban, shalosh the korban v'lo l'tumah. So they raise a straw man here. Why don't I say that at two, you're tameh, and no korban? At three, you have to bring a korban, but there's no tumah. So that doesn't work, because Amar ta'ad shalo ra'ash shalosh ra'ash ta'im. Before you saw three, you saw two. You're already tameh. You can't say when you see two, you're tameh. When you see three, you're not tameh anymore. So let's try a different one. Ve'emar shtayim l'korban v'lo l'tumah. So perhaps just use the opposite direction. When he sees two, maybe there's a chiyuv korban, but he's not tameh yet. Shalosh af l'tumah, maybe three then adds in the component of tumah. So lo sakadaitach, you can't say that. Why? The tanya v'chiper alav ha-kohen lifnei adonai mizovo. This is at the purification process after the korban. It says that the kohen will purify him mizovo. And what's the drasha on that? The literal meaning is from his ziva. But what's the drasha? Miktzat zavin mevin korban. Miktzat zavin en mevin korban. Mizovo meaning only some of them bring a korban, which means among the class of people who are tameh, only a smaller class is going to bring a korban, which means you have to get to tumah first, and then not everybody's going to get to the next step of zavin, of korban. So haketzad ra'ash shalosh mevi shtayim eno mevi, o'ena elo ra'ash shtayim mevi ra'ash shalosh eni mevi. So let's try it the other way. Maybe only the people who saw twice bring a korban. People who saw three times don't bring a korban. So the same reasoning that we used before will be used again. Mart ad shalo ra'ash shalosh ra'ash shtayim. What are you talking about? Before he saw three, he saw two. On his way to three, he saw two. So if you say everyone who saw two has to bring a korban, then everybody has to bring a korban. So now we have two pieces here that give us the result. Vitzarech to Rabbi Simai, vitzarech mizovo. So I needed Rabbi Simai's drasha at the beginning, and I needed this word mizovo. Why? The imid Rabbi Simai, if I only had Rabbi Simai that says, some people are tameh, some people bring a korban. Havayamena kikushin. Then I would have had my challenge to say that maybe you start with tumah and then move to korban. You start with korban and then move to tumah. Which is a little bit of a strange havamina. Kamash balan mizovo. That's why it says mizovo, to tell me that the class of people who bring a korban is smaller than the class of people who are tameh. V'imizovo, if you just said mizovo, lo yadana kamariot, I wouldn't know how many sightings. I need Rabbi Simoi to tell me the stages are two and three. Kamash v'land Rabbi Simoi. Now, v'hashadamart mizovo l'drasha, now that you're telling that the word mizovo is there to tell me not all zavim are in this class. V'chiyitar hazav mizovo my darshepe. What are you going to do with the pasuk in the next parak? In the same parak, the chiitar zav mizovo, when the zav becomes tahor mizovo, has to do the whole process of the mikvah, etc. Means the chiitar zav lechshiif sok, meaning when he stops having ziva, mizovo velo mizovo venigo. Meaning that if he's a Zav who is also a Metzora, he doesn't have to be clean from his Tzarat in order to begin start counting the Yeshiva Nakim. Take a look at Rashi here. Mizovo v'safar, the next word says he should count 7 days. L'med al Zav v'al shtei riyot shetaon sfirat shiva. So this Mizovo is now being used expansively to say all Zavim have to count Shiva. V'lodinu, im etam mishkav moshav lo yehei taun sfirat shiva. We say we don't even need a pasuk for that. We know he has to count Shiva Nikim, because after all, if he's Matame Mishkav Moshav, certainly he has to count Shiva Nikim. So the answer is Shemad Yom Keneged Yom Tochiach. Shemad Yom Keneged Yom is a Zava who only saw one or two Riyot, meaning one or two days, in which case she doesn't count Shiva. She just keeps the same amount of days as clean. And nonetheless, she's Matame Mishkav Moshav. Matame Mishkav Moshav, Eino Tomo No Shivat Shiva. Which means it's possible for this Zav to, even though he's Matame Mishkav Moshav, that's clear in the Pasuk, that he doesn't have to count Shiva. Tamadomar Mizovova Safar. That's why it says anybody who's recovering from his Ziva has to count. Miktsad Zovova Safar. We made al Zav al Shtei Riyot Stone Sfirat Shiva. Which means even somebody who's a partial Zav, as it were, somebody who only has A2, still has to count. Which means, by the way, we're using Mizovo in the opposite direction. In the first Pasuk that we encountered, we used Mizovo to exclude and say not all Zavim are in this category. Only some bring a Korban. And now, Lagabe Sfirat Shiva, we're saying that Mizovo is there to include all Zavim that we would not have known to include. So Amalar Papalabai, Maishna Ha Mizovo Demarbi Beizav Bal Shteviot. So how come in this last one we used Mizovo to include a Zav who saw two? In the first one that we had, we dafka used it to exclude somebody who saw two riyot. So Amar Lei, so Abaye had a very simple answer. He said, Isal kataita chaylim ute hudata. It's very simple, because if you think that Mizovo in the second pasuk we encountered was there to exclude a ba'azav of two riyot, so lishto kramine, don't say anything. The chiyitar azav, you don't have to say the word Mizovo. Chitema atimidina. And you think, aha, I would have proven it by a Kal V'chomer. Shemret Yom Keneged Yom Tochiach. We already disproved the Kal V'chomer because of Shemret Yom Keneged Yom. Which means if the Torah's intent was to say that a Zav of two Riyot does not count Shiva, let it just not say anything. V'chi Yitar Azav, and leave it alone. Chitei Mahami Baile Mizovo V'lo Minigo. But you could argue that I needed Mizovo to tell me Mizovo V'lo Minigo, the halacha regarding a Zav who's a Metzorah. If can lift of krav, v'chitar hazav, just say v'chitar hazav, v'lishtok, because that alone will already tell me that the only thing he can't need to count shiva from is from his ziva and not from his tzarat. Mizovo lamali. Why did the Torah add mizovo? He made alzav al shteriot shetelim sfirat shiva. Because if the Torah intended for it to be excluded, it would have just been silent. So why does it add mizovo? It must be adding mizovo dafka to include Ezav Bal Shtei Re'iyot L'Sfirat Shiva. The last Mishnah we're going to look at this morning in the series of the Ein Veins is about a Metzorah. This is one bit of introduction about a Metzorah. A Metzorah, which is commonly mistranslated as a leper, a Metzorah is somebody who has a particular scale disease on their body. If a person sees such a manifestation, he calls the Kohen takes a look at it. If it indeed fits the bill, then the person is quarantined for a week. During that time, he is called musgar, or quarantined. After that week is up, the Kohen takes another look at him. If the discoloration became darker, he's tahor. If the discoloration remained set, then he gets another week. He's musgar for another week. After that second week, if we take a look at it, if it hasn't grown at all, then he's tahor. If, on the other hand, it's grown, then he becomes a mitzorah muchlat, which means a definitive mitzorah or a decisive mitzorah. Our Mishnah is going to deal with two pieces of that. The difference between a mitzorah musgar and a mitzorah muchlat while they are tamei, and the difference between somebody's, the process of tahara from hesger and from hechlet. Ein bein mitzorah musgar l'mitzorah muchlat. The only difference between a mitzorah musgar and a mitzorah muchlat, ela priya ufrima. Then a mitzorah muchlat has to let his hair grow wild and has to rend his clothes. Ein bein tahor mitoch esker l'tahor mitoch echleit. The only difference between somebody coming out and doing the purification from each one of those statuses is ela tiglacha v'tziporim. The shaving that the mitzorah has to do, that's only if he's muchlat. And the special korban with the two birds is presented in the beginning of chapter 14 of Vayikra, that only a mitzorah muchlat has to do. Good. So now the Gemara infers, Halinyan shiloach v'tuma, as far as him being exiled out of all three camps. Remember, Metzora is exiled out of all three camps. And as far as tuma goes, remember, Metzora has the most chamur kind of tuma. He even has tumat bia, which means if he walks into a house, everything in the house becomes tameh. Zevezeh shavin. So it must be that Metzora muskar and Metzora muchlat are equal for that. Now, in Hanimili, what's the source for this? This is attempt number one. The tiara kohen mispachati. This is when the kohen investigates him after he has ger and he is tahor. The chibes gada v'taher. It already says he's tahor. So why does he say he shall wash his clothes? In other words, take his clothes to the mikvah and v'taher. Tahor mi priyo frima de mikara. That means that he has been cleansed of ever having to do priyo frima. In other words, he's not ever going to get to the step of having to do the hair growing wild and the rending the clothes. Amale Rava Alamiata, if you're going to read Vitaher as meaning not you are now Tahor, but rather you never had to go to that next step. The same phrase shows up with a Zav. When he's finished being a Zav, he takes his clothes to the mikveh and Vitaher. Hata mai Vitaher Miikara Ika, there you don't have any Tahir Miikara. There you have nothing that, now I'm not going to have to take that step. You know what Tahir means? Tahir means that from this point on, if he touches a Kli Cheres or he pushes it, whatever it may be, Afagav the Hadar Chazi lo Matamin Lamafreya. If he pushes a Kli Cheres, which as a Zavi would be Matamei, Chibesu Gadav Tahir means if he does that now, it's Tahor. Even if 5 minutes later he sees another Re'iyah, it doesn't retroactively kick back. So the same thing with the Metzora. What does it mean? It means that at this point he's Tahor, and therefore he's not Metamei B'Biyah. And even if 5 minutes later he sees another Tzarat, then it's not going to retroactively be Metamei any house that he walked into. So that can't be our source. This is describing the one who has to do Priya Frima. Says the one who has a nega. So the only one I can apply to is somebody whose tzarat is about his body. Tzarat muskar really is just waiting for a time to lapse, a week to lapse, and the coin to investigate and make a declaration. This guy, on the other hand, is really waiting for his body to heal. So therefore, the only one in the pasuk is somebody who's mitzara muchlat. We have another pasuk that says that he's only tamei as long as the nega is on him. And he has to be badad yeshev mechutz lemachaneh moshavo. He has to sit outside of the camp. So misha tzara totli yabu gufo de ta'un shiluach. V'shein tzara totli yabu gufo ain ta'un shiluach. You're going to tell me that only a mitzora whose tzarat is about his body and not about lapsed time is the one who has to be exiled? V'chitei ma'achinami. Our Mishnah says the only difference is the rending. As far as exile and as far as being Matame Bibiya, Zevezeh Shavin. So the way that you read it is anyone who has the Tzarat on him, and therefore that refers only to a Metzora Muchlat because it's about his body and not about lapsed time, can't work because that same phrase is used in the context of exile, which we know applies to all of them. So Amar Lei, you may call Yimei Rabot Metzora Muskar LeShiluach. So Rava's answer was that in that pasuk it says Kol Yimei, and the Kol Yimei is there as an extra phrase to extend it and include even a Metzora Muskar LeShiluach. So Yachli Tzidach Metzibori My Time Alo. So if that's the case, why don't we extend it to everything and have him do the whole procedure when he gets out, the shaving and the birds, the bird offerings? Diktani ain't bein tahor mitoch esker l'toch chled al tigach of tziporim. That's the one difference between them. All right, my kravi atzah koin amuchutz l'machaneh v'nir parn neged tzarat. In the parsh of the bird offerings, the kohen comes out and he sees outside of the camp that the scale disease has been healed, and then he does the birds. Misha tzaratot liyad refuot. So obviously, it's referring only to a mitzora who needs healing. As opposed to the Tzara Muskar, whose solution doesn't depend on healing, but rather on time lapsing. Tov, Yirat Hashem, tomorrow we will continue with a series of Ein Beins, and we will see some fascinating historic discussion about the Septuagint, the Targum HaShivim, and the famous story of Talmai HaMelech, among other interesting sugyot. Everyone should have a wonderful day.